Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of Vocab, where we simulate real-life conversations between myself and...
Angel here.
Yes. And today we're going to be talking about Hong Kong's greasy spoon cafes. This is an article I dug up earlier, and I read this on BBC, Angel.
Greasy spoon cafe.
Greasy spoon cafes. Do you know what greasy spoon stands for?
I know that greasy spoon stands for the cheap local restaurant.
Cheap local, but it doesn't sound savory. Yeah. It doesn't sound kosher. Like, greasy spoon sounds like, why would you go to a cafe or eat out at a place where they don't wash their spoons? That's just plain disgusting.
Exactly.
It's not savory. Not at all. Like, that's just terrible. I mean, if you go to the street food vendors in Taiwan, you can see they very eagerly wash their dishes, right?
Yeah, of course.
Mm. On the side of the streets.
Yes, with a big bowl of water, a tank of water.
Yeah, you know, that's somewhat comforting. That's somewhat, I don't know how well they clean this.
At least they try.
Yes, at least I see them cleaning it.
Yeah, you see their efforts.
But here, for BBC to title this article, Greasy Spoon Cafes in Hong Kong, you know, made me think about what cafes would be called greasy spoon cafes. And then I dug the word up, and exactly as you said, the word greasy spoon stands for cheap and affordable.
Affordable.
Yeah. In America, it would be called a diner.
Oh, a diner.
A diner would be considered a greasy spoon eatery or greasy spoon cafe. And in South Africa, I think, or in the Commonwealth countries, in UK, I don't think we call these cafes greasy spoon cafes. We call them takeaways.
Takeaway?
Yeah. We don't have diners. We don't have any of these fancy side restaurants. They're usually called, they have a huge sign that says takeaway.
But can you eat inside?
Yes, you can.
Oh.
That means they have a deli inside. Uh-huh. And they offer hot food that you can order.
But the sign will be takeaway.
Takeaway.
So they encourage you to take away.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not somebody's cafe.
Okay.
Okay. Cafe is a fancier term. So we grew up with Mr. Fong's Takeaway.
Oh.
Not Mr. Fong's Cafe. Mm-hmm. Or not Mr. Fong's Eatery. Or Bistro. We don't even have words like Bistro. That was only when I really, when we started working. Mm-hmm. Then you have these boutique restaurants that call themselves bistros.
Bistro.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They call themselves bistros. Generally, cafes only offer like these light snacks and coffee and cake. Done. That's a cafe.
Oh, that's a cafe, yeah.
That's a cafe, period. So greasy spoon, like how greasy can coffee be? Come on. How greasy can your cake be? Come on. Right? And your sandwich, how oily and greasy can your sandwiches
then
be?
Then I will not eat it.
Exactly. So that didn't sound savory to me, you know, reading the title. And I would think back of my visits to Hong Kong. And obviously, you have more experience. More time spent in Hong Kong. Being that you are a...
I used to base in Hong Kong.
You were based in Hong Kong.
Yeah. So I have stayed there for around 7 years.
You stayed
on
in
and
Hong
off.
Kong.
I'm shuttle to work.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And your occupation was also cabin crew?
Yeah.
Okay. You will understand where I'm coming from when I'm talking about this article, because it's not fair. Like, the first thing that came to my mind is it's really not fair to call these fancy, you know, in Taiwan, we call them cha chan ting, right?
Yeah, cha chan ting.
Yeah.
Tea restaurant, cha chan ting.
Yeah. Cha chan ting.
Cha chan ting.
Yeah.
You need to have the tone of voice, cha chan ting.
That's how you say it, or else people get pissed off at you for saying it wrong. Well, you're from Taiwan, aren't
yeah.
you? Huh? You're not very Hong Kongese. All right, cha chan ting.
Cha chan ting.
Yeah. And so I have visited Hong Kong a few times in my life, and I mean, I've had really great experiences with these cha chan ting.
Oh, really?
Because, I mean, we've seen them in movies, in Cantonese movies, for sure. And then while I visited Hong Kong and tried them, and I actually enjoyed the vibe because it's very vibid. It's very lively,
true,
right? The
true,
vibe.
True.
And it feels like it serves the community. The auntie knows you, right? almost by name. Like, yeah. If you go a few times, the auntie will remember you. Like, yes. Oh, Leng Zhe, long time no see. Yes, Leng Zhe, long time no see. You know, that kind of thing. And I kind of enjoy the vibe.
Yeah. But cozy and friendly.
Like, almost like a mom and pop cafe. I would define it as a mom and pop. That was my first impression. Yeah. Mom and pop as in, you know, these corner stores where, you know, it's just a family business, period. Mm-hmm. And it's not fair to call them greasy spoons because, yeah, I mean, the interior decor is not Michelin starred.
Of course.
Right? I mean, it's not Michelin starred. It's not it's not a chain restaurant by any means, but it's decently clean. Like, people eat, you know, it's an eatery. It's still decently clean. It's not greasy. It's not disgusting. The health bureau also comes and check these places, right? And inspects these places. Come on, you know, like I the first impression of this article for myself was, this is not fair.
This
like,
is not fair.
This will upset a lot of Hong Kongese people.
Mm.
Calling the cafe's greasy spoon.
Greasy spoon.
Then I Googled the term up and I thought, right. But who uses this term, greasy spoon cafes? Like, come on.
Mm.
So this is my definition of BBC. You know, BBC, Financial Times, all the British publications. In order to sell paper, in order to sell journalism, they tend to want to fancy certain words up.
Oh.
They would go dig in the dictionary and fancy it up just to prove that they are slightly more cultured and they got more vocabulary.
Yes.
Then Donald Trump. All right. So that's the BBC. So again, when I read it, I thought, okay, yeah, that's BBC. You know, if you read Financial Times, you know, unlike the American publications, they would just stick to their guns and use, you know, plain layman terms to let you understand.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm. So
BBC, yeah.
Yeah.
Fancier.
Exactly. It could be just the tea houses in Hong Kong, period. Mm. BBC just has to call them the
Greasy Spoon Cafe.
So I don't know. I don't even know if our Hong Kong audience and our Singaporean audience know about this article. Like, you are welcome if you're of Cantonese descent. You're welcome to go and complain.
Please.
Because this is not fair. I'm calling this out, okay?
After reading this article, I have discussed with my friends in Hong Kong. And I asked her, have you ever heard of Greasy Spoon the term? He said, "When I'm never heard of it." But after reading the article, she said, yeah, actually, we can rephrase the name as a greasy finger cafe.
Ah, okay.
greasy finger cafe.
Yes. Yes. Right. Why is it greasy finger? Because the auntie generally puts her finger in your soup.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I get the picture. But that's also because the auntie just wanted to prove to you that the temperature of the soup is warm enough.
Okay.
It's not that hot. It's warm. You can drink this. You know, it's a thermometer. It's not that hot.
It's edible. Don't worry.
Yes. It's at a temperature where it's edible. Like, you can eat it right off. You don't have to blow on it.
Oh, and then it's because of the efficiency, right? If it's not too hot, you can finish it quickly so they can invite the next customer.
I don't think people sit and really chat in Cha Chan Teng.
Oh, of course not. Mm.
People don't do that. But at dim sum restaurants, you would sit all morning.
Oh.
Dim sum restaurant is a different thing.
Yes,
like on the weekends, my friend would take me to their family, sort of, you know, Sunday brunch sort of idea. And they would sit there and just drink tea. And I'm like, where's the food?
4 hours?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We were there like very early because we went with the whole family of the grandma, the auntie, everybody. We sat at a round table, 12 people.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, so when is this going to get done? Like, we were there. And then, you know, from a very Taiwanese family, you know, you go to a restaurant, you order food, and you have a chat, and you finish your food, and you can go.
It takes forever.
Like, you sort of finish your food the first round, and then they're, like, drinking tea and having a chat. And then, as my biological clock says, it's time to go, they would order the next round of dim sum. Like, oh, yeah, grandma still wants dim sum. And I'm like, how much do you want to eat, grandma? From a third person perspective, I actually at that moment in time realized, oh, that's their version of the Sunday brunch.
Oh, that's a Sunday brunch in Hong Kong. Yes.
Yeah, that's like that's your version of Sunday brunch. You sit in with your family. Even if you have nothing to talk about, you just drink tea.
You just drink tea.
Kill time.
Mm.
That was sort of the family ritual.
Yes.
That was how you would do it. Mm. But in Taiwan, it doesn't work like that. Our Sunday brunch has to be like 90 minutes. Sunday
90 brunch. Minutes.
Yes. You go to any brunch restaurant in Taipei, would say, sir, your eating time is 90 minutes.
90 minutes.
Yeah. Your appointment is only for 90 minutes. And I would be like, this is not brunch. I should just eat at home.
Yes.
I get really upset. Okay. So coming back to the article about the greasy spoon idea. So technically, it's not a derogatory term. It's not a term to try to demean, remove the value of or to criticize the Hong Kong cafes. It's just one of those old terms that doesn't sound all that nice. That's not applied or that's not used very often these days. So greasy spoon out. Yeah. But Ta Tan Tiang, definitely a place you want to visit. And a quick summary of this article is that the American version would be called the American Diner. And this kind of diner style cafes would be frequented by all people, all walks of life, from construction workers to bankers to, you know, people on the street to celebrities even. Some of these Ta Tan Tiang. I remember Zhou Yun Fat.
Zhou Yun Fat, yeah.
Yeah. He would visit a few Ta Tan Tiang and they even like local people in Hong Kong would know if you want to meet him in any way, if you want to, you know, take pictures of him from afar, you go to these Ta Tan Tiang.
That's where you would definitely meet him.
Yeah. You'll definitely meet him. Yeah. And so celebrities are even open about that because that's their root.
Right? Oh, yes.
That's their roots. Yes. The very grassroots. Mm. I think it's the food. What exactly is a Ta Tan Tiang? What entails a Ta Tan Tiang? What makes Hong Kong Ta Tan Tiang so unique and special is the East and West fusion they had this idea way back in 1950s. They did this only in the 1950s by fusing Cantonese food with the Western sort of the breakfast or the brunch food. So it's a fusion. Like they did this very early. And this fusion came from the colonialization of the British government.
British, yes. Yeah.
So that was in the 50s. And it eventually caught up, right? Mm-hmm. Even for the foreigners in Hong Kong, they understood this because this was a mashup of the two cultures. This was the two cultures sort of communicating with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Blending in. You know, the Brits would want morning tea. So what would be the Hong Kong people's morning tea version be? What's their version of high tea? No. Right?
No.
Si do si. That's their version.
Ba lao yao.
Yeah. So food like that became a thing.
Mm.
Because they were like, okay, if the... All right, I'm not trying to be racist here, but, you know, I can obviously, you know, coming from South Africa, I can definitely say the white population is doing this. Then sure, definitely the Asians can do this. Why not? You can have your high tea. I will have my sandwich.
Yes.
What's my version of it?
Yes.
Mm. Okay. So after reading this, this article is definitely a good read because it made really, really good sense where colonize a place. Like same thing with Vietnam and France, right? Mm. The French colonized Vietnam. What happened? They gave them coffee.
Coffee.
And right? The French and bomb. Vietnamese people today are very proud of their coffee heritage.
Yes.
They're very proud. And they have somewhat overtaken the French coffee heritage. They drink it in a very different way. And people actually pursue this now. The cat poo coffee.
Oh, with a lot of condensed milk?
Kopi luwak.
Kopi luwak.
Yeah, kopi luwak, you know, and the coffee with condensed milk, yes, the way that's the way they drink, etc. And then, of course, their unique coffee beans that they have grown over the years. I mean, they have certainly developed into a coffee country.
Mm.
Yeah, with coffee culture. Same thing with Hong Kong, except their Ta Tan Tiang culture never really spilled over anywhere else. But their dim sum culture have spilled all over the world.
True.
Mm. So the dim sum culture is everywhere.
Everywhere.
Yeah, the food looks different. It's fusion, but that's how people actually were brought up to accept. So the key term here would be the greasy spoon idea would be something that was affordable. This fusion cuisine cannot be expensive. It has to be affordable for the masses.
Mm. affordable.
It has to be affordable. Yeah. And in the article, they use the word thrifty.
Oh, thrifty.
Yeah, thrifty. Uh-huh. Also meaning that it's affordable to the masses. So, Tatantian-wise, which ones have you been to? Or the, you know, you, I'm sure you have been to more Tatantian than I have.
I think I visit quite many of the Tatantian in Hong Kong.
Okay. Any one that you can... That comes to mind, you know, when you talk about Tatantian, anyone
like,
that
like
you were most impressed with?
Tuihua. It's a chain store, right? Everybody knows it.
Yes. Yeah. But they weren't a chain store. They weren't a chain store in the beginning, right?
Yes. They only have
a... It was a family business. Yes. And then it developed, they grew.
They grew.
Business. Yeah, they grew the business.
They're booming.
And the menus are quite extensive, if I recall.
Right? Oh, yes.
Excuse me. Yes. The menus are very extensive. They used to have just the traditional Tatantian menu, right?
Yes.
The sidosi and all that. But they've expanded. Now they're fully fledged restaurant.
Yes.
You can't call them a Tatantian anymore.
They even sell steak.
Yeah, it's a fully fledged restaurant. That's how far they have come. Back in the day... They were a corner store somewhere. I think a lot of these Tatantian came from a Kowloon, right?
A Kowloon, yeah.
Yeah, come from Kowloon. And, you know, also further away from Hong Kong Island because...
Oh, yes. Guantang, Satin sort of place.
Mm-hmm. Yes, those are the places. Same with us in Taiwan. We would like to go to Tainan and eat out at an eatery.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
You know, these eateries that we don't have in Taipei.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then everything we see in Taipei are either franchised or run by large corporations.
Mm, exactly.
Yeah. Tuihua, definitely. I would say that's even for a person that's not knowledgeable of Hong Kong,
you've heard
knows
it.
About. Yeah. I've seen the pictures even.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of their culture. Yeah.
Another one called Lian Xiang Yuan. I think that one is a must go for Taiwanese people.
Really?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
So some of the friends visit me in Hong Kong. They say, I must go to Lian Fang Yuan. Lian Xiang Yuan. Yeah. That one is very popular.
Uh-huh. Also a franchise now?
Only two stores.
Only two stores.
Yes.
Lian Xiang Yuan. Okay. Okay.
So how about you, John?
No, I actually don't know any because I went to Hong Kong and usually my Hong Kong friend would just take me around.
Ah, I see.
And I mean, we would just sort of get out of the metro station and just keep walking. So he would be like, okay, we're going to eat here today.
Here.
Yeah, and then we're going to go there today. And then I just go and I just follow him. So I don't remember names, but I'm like, oh, I see. This is, you know, this is the way it looks. And then we're near some area, blah, blah, blah. And, I, you know, I'm still very disoriented as to where I go in Hong Kong. Once you away from the metro station, you actually don't know where you are. You're like, I'm a 5-minute walk away from this particular station. Yeah, that's how much I know about Hong Kong. But for sure, some of these restaurants, they look very, very similar. You can sort of see the history.
Oh, yes.
You can sort of see the urban development back in the day from the 1950s and 60s. You can see that they have been here for such a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And the mark or how you can define this is a proper Tatantian is the fact that the furnitures are also from like 1950s.
Oh, they are not new.
Oh. Yeah, they're not new. There are little stools here and there, broken down stools and this and that. And people are still okay eating at these Tatantian for a reason.
Because they
grew up with it.
Uh-huh.
Because it was part of their lives. It's become comfort food for them.
Yes.
And obviously the flavors are very different to what we are used to in Taiwan or even in South Africa. But once you go to Hong Kong and you have a taste, then you decide whether it's an acquired taste that, you know, you want to pick up, or now you know how actually history in terms of food has evolved over the years since 1950s.
Oh, I see.
You know, and now today, I mean, if you go to Hong Kong, there are a lot of Michelin star restaurants that you can also dine out at. And also there are probably branches or these restaurants run by these top chefs in the world. That's all cool. That's all nice. But personally, I like to go to the streets. I like to sort of eat what the locals eat.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Being sort of wined and dined in Hong Kong, I don't know, it gets really expensive. And also, you know, the wining and dining, I think that's a little excessive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me, it's all about understanding the culture. And, you know, it's more intriguing for me to understand, oh, this Tatantian and also the history behind it and who came here, what changed, da-da-da, that kind of stuff. So, I, you know, this article was definitely a good read for me.
Oh, yeah.
I enjoyed it. Yeah, and they talked about Anthony Bourdain as well. I followed his show, Parts Unknown. It's fantastic. Again, in Cha Tan Teng, we have to talk about the food in Cha Tan Teng.
Of course.
We named a few, Si Do Si and Bolo Yao.
Bolo Yao.
Yeah, Bolo Yao. So Bolo Yao, for me, with butter, anything tastes great with butter. I would say
anything
that
tastes great with butter.
With butter and cheese.
Yes.
Anything would taste great with butter and cheese. Having a slab of butter
in
your bread, to me, is heaven. Because
it's heaven.
If you take the Taiwan bolo bao, the melon pan, you cut it in half and you put a slab, it just doesn't have the same flavor to it. I don't
know
why.
Right. The pineapple bao, the bolo bao itself, is totally different from the ones from Taiwan's, right?
Yes. I believe it's different. I've tried it here in Taipei, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
It just doesn't match.
It doesn't match.
For some odd reason, I don't know why. So I've never really, you know, enjoyed it like that. But bolo yao for me is definitely my number one pick.
Number one.
For Cha Tan Teng. Like, I would have to order, even going to the dim sum restaurant, I would order bolo.
Me too.
Yeah.
And then the French toast, Si Do Si.
Not my favorite.
Not your favorite.
Not my favorite on the menu because it feels like something I can make at home, so no.
You can make at home?
Like, I can make a decent French toast.
Okay. But I think the style should be different, right?
It is a
difference. They put a lot of peanut butter inside, and then a lot of the maple syrups and honey.
Yes, on top of it.
Yeah. And then, actually, it's quite heavy, but I just couldn't resist it. So how can you make it at home? Because you have to put so much guilty stuff. Can you do so?
What do you mean, can I do so?
Like,
that's how you do it.
All right.
You know, when you go to restaurants, right, and you ask them to add extra maple syrup, they're going to charge you.
Oh.
So when you buy maple syrup, guys, this is my advice, right? If you want decent, really decent food, like all these guilty pleasures, you go to Costco, you buy yourself the largest tub of maple syrup. You go crazy with your waffle. You go crazy with your pancake. You go crazy with your Si Do Si, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you go to a restaurant today and then you're like, oh, miss, can I have extra maple syrup? Oh, sir, that'll be 50 NT. You get so upset. You're gonna charge me for this? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
All right.
Exactly.
So all these guilty pleasures, that's the way you do it at home.
Okay. So that's the sound of my patting my belly.
That's how you do it at home, really. No two ways about it. You go to Costco, you buy the biggest sliced cheese stack. You take it home. You want 3 slices, you want 10 slices, you
by
go.
By all means.
You go. You do it. You love yourself more. Go love yourself. That's how I do it. You know, but if you go to like a pizzeria or any sandwich shop, you order extra cheese. They're going to charge you.
Yes.
Yeah, they're going to charge you for that extra cheese. At home, no service fee, no charge.
Feel
no
free.
Fees. No
fees. 10 slices.
Yeah, you want 10 slices, you go 10 slices. You want a thick slab of butter, you go thick slice of butter. But here's the problem for us. Here's the problem I have with Taiwan in general, Angel, is that butter and cheese are generally very expensive.
True.
Much pricier than overseas. So whenever I do travel abroad, I would go to the supermarket and just look at the prices of butter. And if it's cheaper than Taipei, I would actually buy butter and take it to a hotel room and buy bread and butter and all that and put it in my hotel room and have breakfast in my hotel room. I wouldn't go to, you know, I would mostly not book rooms, my accommodation with breakfast.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
Because the only thing I want from the restaurant in the hotel is scrambled eggs. That's it. And all things else, cheese, the bread, come on. You know, I can do it better. You know, I generally don't do that. So when it comes to Si Do Si and the sandwich, anything that goes with bread itself, like bread, toast, you can do that quite easily by yourself.
Oh, yeah. And regarding the toast, so I am a toast person. So I need to roast my toast in the perfect way. And you know, in Cha Tan Teng, if you ask them to roast the toast for you, actually it costs $2. You know that?
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it's true.
Okay, now I'm very disappointed with Cha Tan Teng.
So that was the first thing that shocked me the most. What? You charge me for $2 for just roasting the toast? If you don't order the roasted toast, they would just give you the raw toast. Who can eat that?
Just a slice of bread.
Yeah.
That's what we call a slice of bread.
A slice of bread.
But if it's called a slice of toast, then it has to be toasted properly.
Oh, yes, right?
It has to be pan fried or toasted on the pan or roasted in a toaster. That's the way we would do it. So personally, like French toast and all those kind of toast, nah, no thank you. So no. I mean, if I do have a toast, a proper toast, it will be just butter and jam.
Butter and jam.
Just butter and jam.
Butter and jam.
And good I don't enough. Even do the American thing of the PB&J. I don't peanut butter and jelly
sandwich. You don't do it?
I don't do that. Ah. I grew up in a, you know, the British people grew up very separate in the way they eat food, in the condiments. They don't mix their condiments, their sauces. They don't even mix this. It's like peanut butter sandwich is a peanut butter sandwich. A jam sandwich is a jam sandwich. But once you put the two together, it's fusion cuisine, and it's just for the few people that like it. It's not for the masses. People don't eat.
I see.
Yeah. Totally, people don't mix things like that. So PB&J, I was very surprised with the American diners where they had PB&J. And I'm like, how does that work? How do you convince people to eat peanut butter and jam together? But okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've tried it and not my favorite, but yeah, sure. I understand. I understand the appeal. I understand the appeal, but I'm sorry. I won't order peanut butter
and
jelly sandwich. Yes. And by the way, for you guys, PB&J, peanut butter and jelly sandwich in US, US jelly means jam for the UK people. So we kind of don't understand that.
Oh, so yeah. What's that?
Jam is jam.
Jam is jam. Jelly. Jelly is different. There are a different thing.
Yes, jelly is made from gelatin. But jam is made from fruits.
Fruit.
Natural ingredients. But no, the Americans have to call jelly.
Jelly?
Or jam, they call jam jelly. And then their version of the gelatinous jelly is called Jell-O.
Oh, Jell-O. Yes, Jell-O.
Jell-O. So, yes. Another one of those, you know, word shocks, like words I will never use that way.
I
do understand there's a difference again. So just like food, we all know there's a difference in the food, but it might not be your favorite, but you have to try them out.
Yes.
To know the difference. So today, again, we have discussed the Greasy Spoon cafes of Hong Kong and some of the brand names and also some of the foods available in Sha Tin Tang. So if you guys, our audience from Singapore and Hong Kong, or if you're of Cantonese descent, why don't you educate us and send us a mail at ask15mins@gmail.com and tell us which is your favorite Sha Tin Tang and which we should actually visit the next time we're in the neighborhood. And we will catch you in the next one. That's it from me and
Angel.
All right. Cheers, you guys.
Bye.